Well, take a copy, please, of the Word of God. If you have one, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Want to read the chapter together. Bring a message to your soul today. Trust the message of challenge and encouragement. And so Hebrews chapter 1, let's begin at the verse 1, reading to the conclusion of the chapter. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, but being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn, begotten into the world, he said, Let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Amen. Let's just pray together, seek the Lord. Our loving Father, we come before the page of Scripture, the Scriptures of truth. We pray for our hearts to be ready to receive thy word. We pray for a word to be spoken that will challenge our hearts and will stir us up in these days. We confess that we so easily lapse into coldness. Oh, grant, dear God, the warming of our hearts. Surely that was what happened on the Emmaus Road when the Savior opened the Scriptures. Did not our heart burn within us, they said, while we walked with him by the way, and when he opened unto us the Scriptures, thy presence and the Scriptures was sufficient to bring them out of that cold state. And Lord, that's what we need, thy presence among us today and thy speaking voice through the Word. Oh, gracious Father, quicken us, we pray. Revive our hearts, we ask. And grant, dear God, a blessing for every soul, young and old. We offer prayer through our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God rules and God reigns supremely over the created universe as one who dwells outside of time and space. Within that created universe, there is order. Not only is there order, but there is also hierarchy when it comes to all living things. We have man whom God has made to have dominion over all the works of his hands and has put all things under his feet. Beneath man, there are animals of all their variation within that exists within that kingdom. Such can be ranked according to phylum and class and order, family, genus, and species. Then moving down that hierarchy of living things, we reach the plants and then fungi, amoeba, bacteria, and algae. But one group of created beings are often forgotten about whenever we come to classify all living things, that group being the angels. There are numerous scriptural references that affirm for us that the angels are created beings. They did not always exist, but they came into existence. For example, we read in Nehemiah chapter 9 in the verse 6, "Thou even now art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts," and it's that little phrase, "all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that there is therein, and thou preservest them, and the hosts of heaven worshipeth thee." That phrase, "the hosts of heaven," should be familiar whenever you think about the angels. Do you remember the Savior, whenever he was born in Bethlehem, and how initially the shepherds were spoken to by a single angel? But that single angel was then brought together with other angels. Let me read Luke chapter 2 for you and the verse number 13. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And thus, whenever Nehemiah, he speaks about how God has made all their hosts, and he speaks about all of the hosts worshipping God, he's referring to the angelic beings. Psalm 148, the verses 2 and 5, speak again of the angels being created. "Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." Colossians 1, verse 16 is another verse. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." And thus the angels are created. They are not eternal like God, but they were created. Now, as to the position that the angels occupy within the hierarchy of all living things, the Spirit of God is very clear as to what position they take. We sang about it today in our opening psalm. Psalm number 8, verses 4 and 5 makes it clear that the angels are given a position that is higher than mankind. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor." Thus, if man is below the angels are above mankind. Now, for centuries, speculation about angels and the topic of angels has produced a plethora of false ideas and questions and heresies and beliefs concerning them. For example, the church in Colossae had been invaded or was invaded by false teachers who were teaching about false humility and the worship of angels as a part of the means to spirituality. It seems that these teachers, they were claiming special mystic insights by way of visions in connection with their worship of angels. And thus Paul writes in Colossians 2 verse 18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And so the worship of angels is not something new. The worship of angels was known in the New Testament church. It was a heresy. In 1823, it was claimed that an angel by the name of Moroni appeared to Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, and would tell him of the existence of an ancient record engraved on golden plates buried in a hill under or near his home. The Roman Catholic Church claims that human life is surrounded by the watchful care and intercession of angels from infancy to death. Its catechism says the following: "Beside each believer stands an angel as a protector and shepherd leading him to life. The church venerates the angels who help her on her earthly pilgrimage and protect every human being." It was Pope Clement X who set aside the 2nd of October every year as a feast day in honor of the angels, celebrating their protection of human beings from spiritual and physical dangers and their assistance in doing good. As I prepared the message, I read of a young evangelist in Canada just last year, 2022, who in a meeting held up a jar, a glass jar with a feather in it. And he told the congregation that the feather belonged to an angel who had visited him. He went on to proceed to say that the angel was going to come to the service that day to release riches and healing to those who wanted prayer, 2022. Today there are those who pray to angels, there are those who worship angels, there are those who venerate angels, activities that we are expressly forbidden to do in passages such as Revelation 19 verse 10. Whenever John went to worship the angel who was showing him about heaven, the angel said to him, "See thou do it not. Worship God," he said. As you are aware, angels appear repeatedly throughout the Old and the New Testaments, and they are present at all the key and principal events in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were there at his birth. They were there in his days of temptation in the wilderness. They were there in Gethsemane's garden. They were there at the resurrection. They were there present whenever he ascended back into heaven. And whenever he returns again, he will return with his holy angels. And they will come taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do a quick search of your Bible, you'll find that the term angel, and I'm speaking specifically about that term, appears some 203 times in the Old and New Testaments. The term angels appears 95 times. The term archangel appears twice. The terms cherub and cherubim appears 95 times. And the term seraphims appears 2 times. And thus there is the total of 396 references to angels in the record of Holy Scripture. There is one aspect of angelic life that I want us to think about in this meeting for the time that remains to us. That aspect really relates to their service, the service of the angels. You know, while some people might have the idea that angels float about heaven on wispy white clouds, really doing nothing but strumming their harps, the Bible informs us that the angels are employed in serving God primarily, but also engaged in serving or ministering to men. And so today I want to preach a message that I've entitled Learning from the Service of Angels. Learning from the Service of Angels. Now the angels that we're thinking about today are the holy angels, those who did not fall from their first estate. You'll be aware that a third of the angelic host rose up in rebellion against God under the leadership of Lucifer, the son of the morning. And as a result of their rebellion, they were cast out of heaven. But it's not those that we want to think about this afternoon with respect to the angels. But today we are speaking about the angels who remained in their first estate in which they were created. We're thinking about the holy angels, those that remained loyal to God. And in order to give a little structure to the message, I want us to employ the who, how, why, where, and when approach, trusting that that'll help you at least to remember something that we say in this message today. As we consider then the service of the holy angels and what we could learn from their service about our service, I want to think firstly about who they serve. Who they serve. Can I say initially that the holy angels do not serve themselves? It is that selfless service. It really sets them apart from the vast majority of all living things in this world. It sets them certainly apart from the vast majority of the human race, and sadly from even some within the professing Church of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is terribly self-centered and so selfish. People love being served by others rather than themselves giving service to others. Has there ever been a more self-serving generation than our generation? Whereas in years gone past, neighbors would have helped neighbors and friends would have offered their services to friends and everyone mucked in, to use a better term, or for use of a better term. Today we have retreated into our own little worlds that have me, my, and mine at their very center. Sadly, the work of God suffers from that mindset. Workers and laborers can too often be few. It seems that the seniors, who should have been replaced by a younger generation of workers long ago, have to keep at the work because there's no one younger coming on behind them to take up the work of Jesus Christ. And so we have the angels. We find that they do not serve themselves. We could all learn from them, the angels, in that respect. We are not to make the sum, brethren and sisters, we are not to make the sum and substance of our living about ourselves. If that is how we approach life, we're going to have very little reward waiting for us whenever we arrive in heaven. If it is just about me and mine, well, then we're going to have very little waiting for us in heaven. But rather than serving themselves, the angels serve both God and man. Consider firstly then their service to God. Their service to God. Cherubim. We read it cherubims, but it is cherubim. Cherubim were created with indescribable powers and beauty. The main purpose and activity of the cherubim could be summarized in the following way, that they are proclaimers and they are protectors of God's glorious presence, His sovereignty, and His holiness. It was a detachment of cherubim armed with dreadful and irresistible power that stood guard at the gate of the Garden of Eden, preventing sinful mankind from re-entering the paradise of God. Genesis 3 verse 24. Cherubim were the golden figures that would cover the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Exodus chapter 25. They attended the glory of God in Ezekiel's vision in Ezekiel chapter 1. They are, as it were, the protectors and the proclaimers of God's glorious presence, His sovereignty, and His holiness. On the other hand, the seraphim, burning ones, they are pictured surrounding the throne of God in Isaiah chapter 6 in their threefold proclamation, holy, holy, holy. They come to reveal their function. That function is to praise and proclaim the perfect holiness of God. Certainly when the world was created, we read that the morning stars, in reference to the angels, sang together. That's what God said to Job. Were you there when the morning stars sang together? It's a reference to the angels in Job 38 and the verse 7. Singing. Angels sang and praised God when the Savior was born in Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And as John looks in to the New Jerusalem, we find that they're still singing. Revelation chapter 5 verse 12, they sing these words, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. From time to time, we not only see them praising and worshiping God, the angels, but we do see the angels on behalf of God coming to the world as executioners of God's judgment. It was a death angel that passed through Egypt just prior to the deliverance of the Hebrew children from the bondage of Israel and under the leadership of Moses. The angel of death passed through the land. The angel of death. In 1 Chronicles 21 verse 15 we read that God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And he was and as he was destroying, we are told, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, "It is enough, stay now thy hand." But he was sent, dispatched by God, to be the executioner of judgment. In the book of the Revelation, we read of seven angels who will sound seven trumpets as the end of time draws near. And in each sounding of the trumpet, a wave of new devastation passes into the world and sees to the destruction of many and to the downfall of nations. But it is the angels that are sent, seven angels that are sent at the end of time. And so we find them serving God, serving him in worship, serving him in the execution of judgment. And as they serve God, we learn from the angels about our service, that we ought to serve the Lord. If these celestial beings, with all of their strength and holiness and knowledge of God, are so committed in serving God, should they not then be a motivation and an example for us to do the same as God's people? If the angels serve God, then why should not the saints serve him on earth? Angels are not only seen in serving God, they're also seen in serving men. It's amazing to think of that. We think of these angels. Remember their position. Their position is higher than man. God, angels, man, animals, plants, and then all non-living things. The angels are above men. And yet the angels condescend to serve man. They stoop to serve men. They are in a greater position than man. And yet we find these beings who are higher in intelligence and power and rank, we find that they have come to earth at times to serve men. For example, there's two angels who dragged Lot out of the city of Sodom and his family, a city that was about to be destroyed with fire and brimstone from heaven. God sent two angels to drag and bring Lot out of the overthrow. Not only that, but angels met Jacob on his journey home to Esau to comfort him and to assist him. The hosts of God came and met Jacob, we're told. We read that an angel was dispatched by God to the exhausted Elijah to strengthen him with a meal as he lay under a juniper tree. Through the intervention of an angel, the mouths of the lions remained firmly shut when Daniel was thrown into their den. Angels were sent to minister to the God-man when he found himself just after his temptation in the wilderness and also in Gethsemane's garden. The pool of Bethesda was troubled annually by who? By an angel sent from God. But so that the healing waters would heal the sickly person who first descended into the pool. On resurrection morning, two angels sat in the tomb where the late Lord Jesus Christ lay. To do what? To communicate words of comfort to the woman who had resorted there that Jesus Christ was alive. In Acts chapter 5, we are told that it was an angel who delivered the apostles out of prison. And then in Acts chapter 12, we read that an angel escorted Peter from his prison cell. In the passage that we read together in Hebrews chapter 1, we read an important phrase or important statement. He's speaking about the angels here. Christ is superior, greater than the angels. But look at the verse number 13 and 14. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" What that ministry of these ministering spirits, speaking of the angels, what that ministry entails, we're not told. But needless to say, angelic beings assist and they aid the heirs of salvation throughout their pilgrim journey. Not only that, but the angels not only bring us and protect us, many believe, prior to salvation, and I'll leave that with you, I'll throw it out there, Men would suggest that there are those angels that are sent to preserve us from danger and death prior to salvation, but I'll leave that with you. But certainly they assist as we make our way through life. And then, not only that, but whenever we come to death, the angels are there. We have biblical warrant to say that from the lips of none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he told the story of Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, we read the words that whenever Lazarus died, Jesus Christ said, Luke 16 verse 22, that Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Beloved, if angels stoop to serve men, even beggars, for that's who Lazarus was, the angels stooped to serve Lazarus, to minister unto Lazarus, to take Lazarus' soul into the very bosom of God himself, into the very presence of God himself. If the angels stoop to serve men, even beggars, why can't we? We could learn a lesson or two about service from the angels when it comes to their dealings with men. May our pride and a sense of self-importance or our busyness not hinder us from serving our fellow mankind. That's who the angels serve. They serve God primarily. But there is in some way, and we can only go as far as Scripture. We must only ever go as far as Scripture. The examples are clear. The angels at periods of time have ministered on to man. Consider the service of the holy angel as we consider this. Let's think secondly about how they serve. How they serve. We're really thinking here about the nature of angelic service, the marks that characterize their service. And this is the most lengthy point. The last two, 3 points are not as long. But let me try and develop this a little bit from Scripture. Can I say in the first place that the holy angels, they serve God obediently. It is obedient service that they give to God. Turn to Psalm 103. Haven't turned to too many portions, but Psalm 103. We're reading the verse number 20. Psalm 103 in the verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The angels do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. With unquestioning compliance, the angels obey the commands of God, and they perfectly do his will. The angels do not fail in the least obedience to the Savior's commands. William Gurnall remarked, they are very attentive to his commands. If he says, go smite Herod for his pride, Balaam for his covetousness, David for his vain glory, Sennacherib for his blasphemy, and Sodom for its uncleanness, presently they go. God commands, and they obey. Unquestionably, they obey their God. The Puritan Ezekiel Hopkins said, they are never remiss in their service or slack in their attendance. They are continually blessing and praising God and stand ready to receive and execute his commandments and commissions. And we can learn, brethren and sisters, again, from the obedient service of the angels. Too often I find myself dragging my heels like a petulant child when it comes to what God has commanded me to do, both generally and specifically with respect to his will. But the angels are not like petulant children. They obey their God explicitly, perfectly. They do his will. No wonder the Savior would then teach his disciples to pray this prayer on earth, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth, or on earth as it is in heaven. Doing the will of God as is being done in heaven by who? By the angels and the saints glorify. May that service be replicated here on earth. Oh, may God help us to obediently obey the Master. The holy angels, they serve obediently. The holy angels serve God cheerfully. Can we not deduce the angels' cheerful service from the constant references in Scripture of them singing and praising God? I'm sure you know somebody at work that's always singing. They're a happy person. People who are sad don't sing normally. It's a happy one, the cheerful one who comes in singing. Singing and praise are marks of cheerfulness. The angels don't serve God because they dread Him. There's a kind of awful fear with regard to God, although that I'm sure is the case. But they do not serve Him initially out of dread, but rather it is their eternal delight to serve the one who created them. There are times that I find that my service for God is not marked by cheerfulness. Instead, there is a terrible amount of complaining and grumbling, murmuring. In such times, I need to remind myself of the words of Psalm 100 and the verse number 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Gladness in service. As I thought of that, I thought of the Savior, the King of angels. I thought of how He served. And I thought of how Christ went to the cross singing. He went to the cross singing. Why can't we go forth to His service in a similar cheerful way? If He went singing to the cross, why can we not go forth to serve Him with such cheerfulness? Cheerfulness in serving the King of Kings. Thirdly, the holy angels, they serve God zealously. Zealously. I can't imagine the holy angels giving any other kind of service to God than that which is marked with zeal and enthusiasm and fervor and ardor. Can you? Can you imagine them serving their God in some kind of lazy, slothful, apathetic way? Can you imagine them serving God? For I cannot. Oh, I see them serving their God with zeal and vigor and energy and enthusiasm. I wonder, would such words be said about our service? First of all, does that service exist? Are we serving the Lord in any way? That's a question we need to ask. And then if we are we zealous in that service? Does enthusiasm, fervor attend it? Or is our service marked by coldness or indifference? You see, the holy angels, they serve God zealously. Not only that, but they serve God instantly. Whenever Peter tried to defend the Lord Jesus Christ the night that He was arrested, as He came out of Gethsemane's garden and made His way to that band of soldiers, and there Peter, he takes out his sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant, the Savior would say words to Peter that I believe reflects and brings to our attention the instantaneous service that the angels can render. The Lord Jesus Christ, He said in Matthew 26, verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently, not without any delay, not with delay, but He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. Now, a legion was a Roman division in the Roman army. It amounted to some 6,000 men plus. Any good at maths, multiply 6 by 12 and you'll get 72,000 angels. And 72,000 angels were to be dispatched at the word of Christ immediately at His command. They would have been present on earth to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't have had to wait a week or a month or a year for the angels to come. They would have been there instantaneously. Too many wait when it comes to our service. They wait for the opportune time to materialize before they begin to serve the Lord. But folks, such a time never comes. There will always be some family pressure. There will always be some work commitment. There will always be some schooling need that calls for our attention. And so the best time is to serve Him instantaneously. Now, presently. Presently serving Him. That's what the angels are doing. They're not waiting to next year or 5 years down the road. They're serving God today instantaneously. He commands and they follow that command. Oh, that we would give ourselves to the service of our King. That we would see that today is our opportunity to serve the Master. For the Savior would say, the night cometh. I must work the works of Him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work. Oh, let all the excuses and the delaying tactics and the procrastination and the disputing be done away with as God calls us to rise and go forth to the work. There's a work to be done this week among the children. There's a work to be done by this congregation. Will we arise like the angels? They arise instantaneously. Without delay, arising to go forth at the Savior's command, the holy angels, they serve God constantly. From my reading of Scripture, it seems to me that the angels, they never die. They are not mortal like us. They do not die. You think of that. Since the moment they were created by God, they have tirelessly and incessantly serve God for thousands of years. They have served God constantly, perpetually. You know, while the physical frailty of our body at times requires us to rest, we're not machines, we're not angels. We're mortal, we're in these bodies of clay. Other times our bodily ailment causes us to have to step aside so very reluctantly from the work of God. And yet our service, whether that is in a ministry, or maybe our service that takes the form of prayer or encouragement or supporting the work of God, that service, like the service of the angels, it ought to be unceasing, continually serving God. For that's what the angels do. While we content ourselves by looking at the service of others, we should compare ourselves with the angels. We always try to find someone who does less than ourselves. But we should look higher. First of all, to the angels and their service for their King, and ask, do we serve the Lord as they serve Him? And then looking above the angels, we look to God Himself. We think of the service of our Savior. Service that was so selfless that He would go to the cross and die for our sins. Consider then, thirdly, very quickly, why they serve. Why do the angels serve? The holy angels, they come to serve God because they have come to realize as rational creatures that He is worthy of their service. That the one that they serve, He's worthy of it. Beloved, I believe that we have a far greater reason than the angels why we should serve the Lord, because He has redeemed us from our sin. That is the motivation. Serving God in whatever way is the only logical outcome when we come to understand the great price that Christ paid for our redemption. How can I not serve Him when He died for me upon the tree? They serve Him. Do you understand that your God is worthy of your service? Your service. Where do they serve? The service rendered by angelic beings, we've thought about it. It occurs in both heaven and earth. In heaven, they worship God. They celebrate the transcendent majesty of the one who sits upon the throne. But their service is not confined to the heavenly realm. But no, we read at times, and we've noted them, that angels, they minister on earth. And there we learn a lesson again, brethren and sisters, from the angels. Our service should first take place on earth and then in heaven. The service that we will begin on earth will continue to be performed by us in heaven. We read there in the book of the Revelation, with regard to those who had their sins cleansed and their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, what are they doing before the throne of God? Are they sitting in their mansion enjoying the rest? Is that what you think that's going to happen in heaven? It's just going to be one long, long holiday. Heaven is all about service. Let me read the scripture for you. Revelation 7, verse 15. It says that they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Service on earth fits us for service above. Those who serve God below will serve him above. Let that statement help you to decipher whether or not you'll come to serve God in heaven. I tell you, if you don't render service on earth, and yes, it can be involved in ministries, but service, prayer, encouragement, supporting the work of God, serving the Lord, if you don't serve him on earth, you'll not be serving him in heaven. Notice then, finally, very quickly, when they serve. Well, we have talked about that. Under the heading, they serve constantly. The angels, they serve. They serve God every day. Every day. They don't serve him on the Lord's day. And take off Monday through to Saturday, although there is no calendar, I believe, in heaven. It is a different world. It's out of time. It's eternal. Eternity. But they don't, as it were, serve the Lord on the Lord's day, and then they take off the rest of the week. Every day, they serve their God. Yesterday they served him, and today they're serving him. And forever, forever they will serve him. Oh, let our service be like the service then of the angels. Let's serve God daily. Wherever we are, whatever we're employed in, whatever our hand finds to do, whatever time of the day that we find ourselves in, let us serve the Master. Do we not sing it? Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. We sing it. Serving God, serving him in our home, serving him in the church, serving him at school and work and in our neighborhood, serving him everywhere we go. The holy angels. They serve their God. What about our service? What about our service for the Lord? Did we give any service for him in the first part of 2023? Now think about it. I want you to think about it. What service did I give to Christ, to God, January through to June 2023? Did I give him any service? Was I busy for him? Well, we're now into the second part of this year. Why not let the last 6 months of 2023 count? Let's give service like the angels. What service they give to their God. We'll not regret it when we find ourselves in heaven. We'll not regret it. You'll not regret it, child of God. No, you will say, like the hymn writer said, I wish I had given him more. I wish I had served him like those above. I wish I had served him like that. We'll all say it. Preacher, Christian, we'll all say it. But oh, may God help us to learn from the angels. For all things are written in Scripture. For our learning and for our profit. May God help us to consider them even today, and our God for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Maybe you're not a Christian today and you cannot serve the Lord. You know him not as your Savior. Well, why not today come to him? Yield yourself to him. Become a servant of Christ. Receive him. Believe on him to the saving of your soul. Trust in him. Come into the gospel meeting tonight. Come and hear words whereby you can be saved. May God encourage you to even to do that. And may God help us all to serve the Lord in some way. Our loving Father, our gracious God, we learn from these holy beings, these ones who are created by thy hand for service, for worship. And Lord, so are we as man. We are created to worship thee, to glorify thee. How the angels do that. Oh, that we would live our lives in glad and ready and obedient service for our King, the King of angels, the King of glory. Oh, to serve him. What a thrill it is to be involved in his service. Oh, may we not be slack. May we not be slothful. Help us, Lord. Stir us up, we pray. And may, O God, we learn, O Father, today from thy word about service. And may we give ourselves to the work of God. Others have ran their race, and others have won their crown. But Lord, we must run our race. We must fight our battles. We must win our crown. May no man take the crown from us, but may we win the well done of God at the end of life's journey. So answer prayer and quicken us, we pray. And may the word be to the reviving of our souls and to the challenge of our hearts. For we offer prayer through our Savior's precious and worthy name.